gotten music before.
Hello?
Hi, this is Connie from Colorado.
How are you, Connie?
I'm great. We saw a mother deer, a father deer, and a baby deer hiking today.
Oh, that must have been fun.
It was. Hey, that book you recommended that was free for a third temple is amazing.
Yes, I agree. I've been teaching it for a few days. It is amazing.
I downloaded it. It's funny because I had a whole bag of things to bring on my vacation and forgot them, so I figured Spirit was telling me to back off for a while. But that book has been a great thing to look at.
Well, I have another student, so Marsha's not going to be there, and I haven't heard from MJ, so I don't know what her plans are.
I think she might be in Hawaii, maybe. She's getting medical treatment.
I figured that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like to do is, because I've been talking with this student, that perhaps we change these classes into the 10 Luminous Emanations, because both you and Marsha enjoy that.
Okay.
So would that be all right if we started there tonight?
Yes.
And then I'll pick up that final class about anti-Semitism, you know, another time when that's those students aren't there.
Okay.
So I'm going to get off the phone and get organized to do that. It'll take me about 5 minutes, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Connie, I'm back.
Okay.
Give us one more minute to get organized. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Talmud Esther Sefirot is online at the B'nai Baruch group, which is Kabbalah.info.
Okay, can you say that more slowly? What's online with?
Kabbalah.info.
And what is on there?
The Esther Sefirot. The original document by Rabbi Ashlag.
No, I did not know that.
So I don't know if you have access to a computer now or not, but I'll be reading from that, and I might as well just walk you through it slowly, and then when you have a copy of the recording, you'll be able to find it. But it's, if you go to www.kabbalah.info, and on the left, there's a series of links, and it starts out with Yehuda Lieb Halevi Ashlag, the Baal HaSulam. If you click on that, there's a whole series of his essays and writings that have been translated into English. The one criticism I have with this group is they do not utilize the power of the Hebrew letters at all. So they whatever language they translate into, and they translate into about 50, well, not maybe 50, 10 different languages. But under this, you can go to the Talmud Esther Sefirot, Part 1, and it's called Tzimtzum and Kav, Chapter 1. And that's basically what we are doing. And just to give you a background, Rabbi Ashlag took the writing of Rabbi Chaim Vital's writings of the teachings of the Ari, and that the major book that Chaim Vital wrote that all of the Kabbalists have studied for the last 500 years is called Etz Chaim, which means the Tree of Life. And that book is not easily absorbed. It moves back and forth and around and about, and it is hard to follow. In fact, many people just memorize it and just don't understand what they're reading. Rabbi Ashlag took that book and reorganized it, and that reorganization is the Talmud Esther Sefirot, what we're going to be reading. And he basically took the verses from the Ari's writings, and then he had a commentary which he called the Or Pnimi, the inner light. And then he had another commentary section, which is like a testing section. And so we'll be moving back and forth in this area. And I'll be clear on what area we are talking about. So you'll be able to follow it much easier.
So do you have to have a copy of that to make sense of it, really?
Do you have to have the copy of it?
To make sense of it all?
It depends on if you're a verbal learner only or if you also a sight learner.
Okay.
It's a function of your own learning abilities. To me, it's more effective to have both.
Okay.
So we're starting with part one. Now, the Talmud Esther Sefirot has 16 parts. The first 8 of them are dealing with components of the spiritual system. They're dealing with the process of coming from the endless world down into our world and then back to the endless world. But the first 7 sections are really dealing with components of the spiritual world with some association with the flow from the endless world down through the 4 other worlds to the world of action. But as we will come to understand, all of this discussion is using physical concepts to understand metaphysical concepts. The title is Part 1, Tzimtzum and Kav, Chapter 1. Tzimtzum will be defined, it's probably a waste of time for me to try and define it, because I could spend a half a lifetime on what is a Tzimtzum. But the simple understanding is the withdrawal into himself of the creator of the light. And Kav, which means light. And the understanding of the Tzimtzum, the light withdrawing into himself, leaving a space empty of himself, and then re-entering that space in a limited fashion called line. That's what this first section is talking about. And Rabbi Ashlag's, brief summary. This section explains the issue of Tzimtzum Aleph, when Or Ein Sof became restricted in order to emanate the Netzalim and create the creatures containing 5 issues. Before the Tzimtzum Ein Sof filled the entire reality. 2, the reason for creation was the revelation of his names and appellations. 3, the Tzimtzum of the Or around the middle point. 4, the Halal that remained after the Tzimtzum was a goal. 5, because Or and Sof was even, the Tzimtzum was also even. This is the meaning of the Igul. Igul means circle. I didn't explain the other Hebrew phrases, but I will as we read them. Now we are going to be reading the words of the Ari as taught to Chaim Vital. This is the Etz Chaim book. 1, know that before the Netzalim were emanated and the creatures created, an upper simple Or had filled the entire reality. There was no vacant place such as an empty Avir and a Halal, but everything was filled with that simple, boundless ore. It did not have a behina or a rosh or soph, but it was all one simple ore, completely even, called ore en soph. Now, there's a lot of Hebrew in that. There's a question. I'm not sure if you're able to hear, Connie.
I can hear.
Okay.
Oh, not the question. No.
The question was, what is Or En Sof? And the answer is, we're going to be studying that to give it to you. The word Or means light. En Sof means endless. So Or En Sof is the endless light. What is light? I describe it as fulfillment. Know that before the Ne'etzalim, the easiest way to describe Ne'etzalim is beings, entities, were emanated, and the creatures created an upper simple ore, an upper simple light, had filled the entire reality. There was no vacant place, such as an empty air and a space, but everything was filled with that simple, boundless light. It did not have a sense of head or end, but it was all one simple light, completely even, called endless light. I'm now going to be reading the Or Panimi, which is Rabbi Ashlag's commentary explaining this section. And it's a very famous section. It is the way the Etz Chaim book actually starts. But there are so many questions that come from the reading of this Hebrew. Because if I have a vacant place, what is empty air? What am I talking about when I talk about empty air or empty space? And how does space differ from place? And these are all different Hebrew words that we've been translated into English now. But this is what people have such great difficulty in following the Etz Chaim, because these words they're describing physical things. Empty air, well, air is not empty. So how do I understand that term? Halal means vacuum. How does air and vacuum tie together? This is why people went really meshuga, a little crazy, studying the Etz Chaim until Rabbi Ashlag came along and with his commentary. Bear in mind that the entire wisdom of Kabbalah is founded on spiritual matters that do not take up time or space. They are not subject to change or absence, and all the changes that are spoken of in this wisdom do not imply that the first form becomes absent and is replaced by a different form. The above changes rather implies an additional form, while the first does not move from its place, as absence and change are corporeal conducts. This paragraph we discussed, in my words, in the four phases, and you both have had the class on the four phases. There's no disappearance in spirituality. You've all heard the adage. What does it actually mean? If we talk in terms of the four phases, we have a vessel. We have a vessel that, please excuse me for 1 second, Connie. Yes, Bacha, I'm on a class. I'm back, Connie.
Okay.
We have a vessel We call it phase one. The creator, the light, the fulfillment comes to the vessel and says, I want entry. I want to be revealed. Will you reveal me? The light, the vessel says, yes, I will reveal you. But that's not desire. That's just acquiescing to a request. There's no real effort involved. The light comes in. That light now causes the vessel to take on an attribute of the light. The vessel didn't know that was going to happen. Light did. As the vessel becomes, in the case of the example of the coffee cup, the coffee makes the cup warm. We now have phase two. In the spiritual sense, the vessel has said, I'm taking on the attribute of the light, of the fulfillment, which is sharing. I want to share. I'm still a vessel, so I use the word I. I want to share. That is phase two. Phase two is a different vessel than phase one. But phase one has not disappeared, is what Rabbi Ashlag is explaining here. Phase one still is there. It never goes away. There's no disappearance. Phase one becomes phase two, but phase two does not impact phase one. How can there be two phases? How can there be two vessels? How did I get a second cup? This is the point that Rabbi Ashlag is telling us. Keep in mind, when we are talking about this wisdom, we are talking about changes that are not really changes. They're changes only in the superficial form. They're changes only in the idea of what is meant by illusion. Continuing, it is difficult for novice, for they perceive matters by means of corporeal boundaries of time, space, change, and exchange. However, the authors only use those as signs to point to the upper roots. For that reason, I will make an effort to give every word its spiritual identity, detached of space, time, and change. It is upon the readers to memorize the meaning of these words thoroughly, for it is impossible to repeat them every time. And literally, he means that. We must know intimately the definition of these words, because when he uses them in a different context, in sections 5 and 7 and 6, we need to know what he's talking about. Not in the sense of a physical thing, but in the sense of the spiritual thing he is describing. The issue of spiritual time is explained thoroughly in his essay on chapter 9, item 33. What is spiritual time? Time is the distance between cause and effect. There is a space, a time space, not a physical space, not even a time space in the movement of the sun and the moon and the astrological planets and other impact. Time is distance between cause and effect. Using the four phases as an example, the light said to the vessel, I want to be revealed. That is a cause. The effect is the vessel came into existence. The light was speaking to a non-entity, something that wasn't there, something within himself. I want to be revealed as a thought of creation. It's a cause. What happened? All causes create effects. A vessel came into being. What is the name, the nature, the aspect of a vessel? Does it have a desire to receive? It has a willingness to receive, but it may not be desire. It takes the four phases to create desire, as we have discussed. Number two, it refers to the light that expands from Atzmut of the Creator, from the Atzmut of the Creator. The Atzmut is a word that is the essence of the Creator. The Atzmut is the Malchut of the Creator, the manifestation of the Creator. It is something outside of the Creator, something inside of the Creator, and there is a unity between the two, and it's not an easy concept to understand. Know that all the names and appellations that appear in the wisdom of Kabbalah are not at all in the Atzmut of the Creator, but only in the Or, only in the light that expands from his Atzmut. However, we cannot utter even a single word regarding his Atzmut, for the rule is that anything we do not attain, we do not know its name. Remember that, and you will not fail. If we are describing something, we name it. We might name it by what it is not, but it is still naming it. Knowing what something is, putting a name to it, means that we have brought into our consciousness a limited aspect of what is that name. A name is a metaphor. My name is Hanoch. Is the name Hanoch who I am? Actually, it is. But when I say that the name Hanoch, do I really understand all of the aspects, all of the personality traits, all of the character traits of what and who I am, or what and who I can become? The truth is, I am saying that, but I don't have the capability of absorbing that. Not in a singular mindset, not in the physical body that I inhabit. What Rabbi Ashlag is saying here, the Creator has an essence. It has many essences. We don't know what they are because we cannot name them. And because we cannot name them, they're out of our league. They're distant from us. Don't waste your time understanding that, playing with that. Know that if I cannot name something, I cannot know it. What does it mean to be Creator? Does that tell me anything? It tells me that the Creator has the capability of creating. Does it define what he created? No. All it tells me is that he has the capability of creating, but not in what frame of reference. It tells me nothing about the Creator. Now we use the word light, which is an emanation of the Creator. And let me go reread this phrase. That all of the names And appellations that appear in the wisdom of Kabbalah are not at all in the essence of the Creator, but only in the extension of the Creator we have named light. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Elohim, Shaddai, all 72 names of God, these are all vessels, but they're light. They're vessels, but they're not the Creator. They're an aspect of the Creator, a limited form of the Creator. This is what needs to be felt and known at the core of your being to understand this material. And this is what Rabbi Ashlag is saying. If you always remember you're only dealing with vessels in every part of the wisdom, yes, we call it light. Yes, we call it a cause. Know that you're only dealing with vessels, but relative to something else, it is a cause. If you remember that, if you consciously always know that, then you cannot fail in the study of this wisdom. If you forget it, you will be directed into a wrong path. God forbid. It is seemingly perplexing, for it speaks of the time before the Olamot, Olamot's worlds, were created. Thus, which reality exists here? That the Or Elyon, the upper light, should fill? The thing is that all of the Olamot and the Neshamot, the souls and the worlds that exist and that are destined to be created with all of their incidents until the end of their correction are all included in En Sof, in their full measure and glory. This verse is saying that the endless world, the En Sof, consists of light and vessel. That unity, everything is there. Every atom, every person, every animal, every blade of grass, all exists in the endless world. There is no such thing as division in this endless world. That's my words talking something that he will bring in later. Continuing with Rabbi Ashlag's words. Thus, there are two rudiments we should discern in reality before us. One, they are fixed and exist in En Sof with their full measure and glory. And two, how they are arranged and hang down and innovate before us after Tzimtzum Aleph in the five Alamot, Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Beriah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. What Rabbi Ashlag said right there is that there is two aspects. There is a cause where everything is in the En Sof. Everything is included in the En Sof in complete structure. Everything is correct. Everything is there. And then there is an effect where the worlds have been created by Tzimtzum Aleph. There is an action in the En Sof that we don't understand. It's a paradox. In the En Sof is included of everything. And there is this Tzimtzum Aleph, this withdrawal into itself. Well, what withdrew into what? We now are in the En Sof, but we have worlds. Did we have worlds in the Ein Sof before the Tzimtzum? Maybe we had it in potential, but they were not in manifestation. They were not in existence. Maybe Hanoch existed. Maybe Bob and Connie existed in the Ein Sof. Not a maybe, they did. They do. They are. But they don't know themselves as Bob, Connie, Hanoch. They are part of the vessel with the consciousness of the endless vessel. This is an aspect of unity that in a physical body, how do we understand this? How do we relate to this? Rabbi Ashlag is explaining to us what the Ari did not explain. There is the endless world, and there is the Tzimtzum that changes things. How it changes, why it changes, that's part of the study. Now, Rabbi Ashlag says, the Rav writes that the Or Elyon that extends from his Atzmut had filled the entire reality. The Rav he is referring to is either Rabbi Chaim Vital who wrote it or the Ari who taught it. Most people say the Rav refers to the Ari. The Ari writes that the Or Elyon, the upper light that extends from his essence, had filled the entire reality, meaning the entire reality of the first rudiment relating to their existence in Ein Sof before the Tzimtzum. He tells us that the Or Elyon filled them entirely until they had no vacant place left where correction and perfection could be added whatsoever. He tells us, I'm repeating, that the upper light filled them entirely until they had no vacant place left where correction and perfection could be added whatsoever. We perceive the world as a vessel. The vessel is empty. Things can happen in an empty vessel. In a vessel that is totally fulfilled, what can happen? What correction can be made? A vessel that is totally filled. You take a drop of wine out of a wine glass that's filled to the brim. Now I have room to put in a different colored wine. I have room to make a change. I have room to make a mistake or a correction, a perfection. But while the light, the fulfillment, has filled the totality of reality, Rabbi Ashlag's words, the totality of reality, this fulfillment leaves no space for correction, no space for perfection. But it's already perfect. In the endless world, there is only perfection. This is the paradox that we will talk about further on. Verse 4. It means that before the worlds were created, there was only the endless world. There wasn't a vacant place, meaning a place of dirt that would qualify for corrections, because the upper light filled that place. It left no room for the tachtonim, for atoms. It left no room for entities. It left no room for anything to distinguish themselves and add something to his completeness. The endless world is complete. There's no empty space. There's nothing but fulfillment and desire in the endless world. When there's a desire, it got fulfilled immediately. No time, just cause and effect. Because of the tsum, there came about a wanting and a vacant place for the corrections. However, do not be mistaken to think that the book speaks of a corporeal place. Don't imagine New York and Chicago, Tel Aviv, Phoenix, Idaho. Were those places in the endless world? Yes. But how did they look in the endless world? What does it mean to be distant, physically distant in the endless world? We're going to describe what that means. That Los Angeles is 1,000 miles from Phoenix. What does that mean spiritually? Don't make the mistake that we are talking about places and spaces and time. We're not. We're talking about metaphysical concepts. A space, metaphysically, is not 1,000 miles. Understand this. Learn to use these terms as you discuss this. Now, how does that impact your life? How does it make it part of you, what you have to do? What's the benefit of knowing this? Rabbi Ashlag explains that in his Hakdama, in his preface to this book. And he explains that you need to know this information in order to complete yourself. Because yourself is the endless vessel. But I'm not complete without you. As a teacher, I have no function without a student. But a student teaches the teacher more than the teacher teaches the student. I'll leave you to contemplate that. Number 5. This does not refer to corporeal air whatsoever. No such thing as physical air in the endless world. But there is a spiritual light that is called by that name, air. There are two features of air, of light, in each complete partsuf. The light of wisdom and the light of mercy. Or Hachma is the essence of the partsuf, meaning its vitality. Or Chasadim only operates as a clothing light over the Or Hachma in the partsuf. Since Or Hachma cannot permeate the partsuf, it does not wear the Or Chasadim first. However, sometimes when the partsufim are in katnut, smallness, they do not have more than or chasadim. you should know that that Or Chasadim is called Avir, or Ruach, when it is by itself without the or the Hachma, it is called empty air, empty Avir, meaning empty of Or Chachma. Then it waits for Or Chachma to clothe it and fulfill it. The Rav tells us that before the worlds were created, meaning in the Ein Sof, such empty avir, such empty air, did not exist in reality at all, because there was no place that did not have fulfillment. First off, we use the term partsufim. And the simple explanation of partsuf consists of, partsuf comes from the word face. A partsuf consists of 10 sefirot, 10 aspects. It is a complete structure unto itself. What isn't discussed here and is discussed other places in the writings, there were the broken vessels that took place prior to the creation of our world, what we're talking about. After the Tzimtzum, the vessels were originally created with the inability to hold the light because there was no communication between the 10 Sefirot. They weren't unified. They were linear. One gave his fulfillment to the one below him, and the one below him gave his fulfillment to the one below him. And they never communicated as to how much do you want? And because of that, they became overwhelmed and broke. This is a partsuf. This is the idea of the face. The idea of a complete structure that is constantly communicating within itself as oneness, and at the same time, paradoxically, the tenness. There are two aspects in that complete structure. Those two aspects is light and vessel. Only they have different names. One name is light of wisdom, and the other name is light of mercy. Light of mercy encloses, covers, is a revelation tool for the light of wisdom, or the Chachmah. But there are times in the process when the inner essence, or the Chachma, doesn't exist with a covering. And just as we know there's no disappearance in spirituality, there's no revelation in spirituality without a covering, without a clothing. There are times when the light of mercy exists, but has no inner essence. It's like the sacrifices were brought to the temple as an exercise in fertility. The person didn't change, but he brought the animal anyway. There are other times when the light of fulfillment is there, but there's no garment, there's no covering, there's nowhere to be revealed. That's when you've changed, but you haven't followed the rules that the Creator gave you, and therefore it doesn't happen. There's no body to show it. I think I've changed, but I didn't do anything to prove it to the world. I didn't do anything to prove it to myself. I've changed. I'm a different person. And tomorrow I went out and did the exact same sin, the exact same negative action. To understand that word, you must first know the essence of a spiritual kli. Since the netzal, receiving its sustenance from the matzil, it necessarily implies that it has a ratzon, a desire, and yearning to receive that shefa from him, that fulfillment from him. Know that the amount of that ratzon and yearning is the entire substance that exists in the netzal, in the essence. Thus, everything that exists in the being, in the essence, that is not that substance, no longer relates to its substance, but to the shefa that it receives from the matzil. There's light and there's vessel, there's fulfillment and there's desire, cause and effect. These are words in Hebrew that are describing different aspects of that same thing. They get used. They're different. We don't use a similar word, a synonym in Hebrew. There is no such thing. So when the Hebrew is matzil, it is not the same as vessel, which is kli. There is a difference. The difference is the degree of fulfillment. This is what this paragraph is beginning to explain. Now we will explain how there are 4 degrees in the substance, from katnut to gadlut, of reception, from smallness to largeness, from childhood to maturity. Same words, different meaning. We need to understand what we are talking about. Smallness to largeness is a process. Childhood to maturity, to adulthood, is a process. Is it the same process? The 4th degree being the gadlut of the reception, the largeness of the reception. The vessel is the largest possibility it can be. The vessel desires the fulfillment. It knows what it had at one time in phase 1, and it has now said, I've lost that, and I want it back. I'm yearning for it. I won't rest. I will destroy the world to get it back. This is largeness of the vessel. That is only true in the endless world, before the worlds were created. It is the only one that was subject to the tzimtzum. The smallness of the light, the largeness of the light, the smallness of the vessel were not included in the tzimtzum. The withdrawal was only in the largeness of the vessel. The vessel said, the largeness, the complete structure of the vessel said, no more. I have bread of shame. I don't like this feeling. The other 3 aspects didn't make that statement. They were quite happy to continue on, just as we, after 5,000 years,
say, who made this deal? Who made this arrangement with the light in the vessel? Forget it. I want back to the endless world without working. Bread of shame isn't so bad. The fourth degree being the gadlut of the reception, the largeness of the vessel, is complete only in Ein Sof. It is not complete in the Tzimtzum. And it was emptied of its fulfillment. And it remained a vacant halal, vacuum. Halal is the Hebrew word for vacuum. This is what the Rav means when he says that before the Olam were created, before the worlds were created, meaning in Ein Sof, in the endless world, the vacant vacuum did not exist. That's another way of saying that the light was in every aspect of creation. But there's still, once the Tzimtzum took place, there is now a vacuum. There is nothing there. But there's something there. It's called desire is there. But there's nothing there. It's not called desire. It's called halal, emptiness, vacuum. What this actually means is that there is nothing that the lower ones can add to the upper ones by means of their actions. There is a separation that is created as desire becomes space. Desire becomes vacuum. Desire affects the fulfillment. Without desire, there is no fulfillment. Yes.
Was the desire created before the vacuum?
Yes.
Attribute of desire.
Yes. The endless world was created complete in perfection. The four phases existed and manifested in the endless world. Potentially. Every step in the process.
That means the four phases are the main recipe behind the creation.
They are the tool, the process of creation. There is nothing in this world that does not go through the four phases. A tree grows from a seed through the four phases.
That was a hit.
I'm sorry?
That was a hit.
I know. Bob just said his psychic abilities kicked in and said, this is an amazing truth.
About the tree,
about everything. A baby doesn't get formed without going through the four phases. Why are there four chemicals in the DNA of a human being? The four phases. Everything that we will study in Kabbalah, its root is the four phases. And that's why I said back at the beginning of the four phases, if you don't understand this, you will never understand Kabbalah, because it's all built on creation, and creation process takes four steps. I'm going to leave, we've covered the first seven sections. Next week we'll start with number eight. Connie, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
I just am curious from my own issues as a teacher versus, you know, you've heard this from other people. Is it similar to what they, how they approach it, or different?
I have never heard anything on this topic before.
Okay, which means that the subjects you've been studying started later than this, than this writing. They usually do skip the first, book, the first section.
Mm-hmm. And there's an awful lot of Hebrew in it for me as well.
Understood.
So many terms, you know, to follow it. There's so many terms.
Explaining that. And it will, it takes time, but there's a reason why the Hebrew was left in.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sure there is.
Also, Bob reminded me we didn't say the Anabakoach, so let's do that now. Please join me in saying the Anabakoach. Anabakoach, Gedula Chimita, Tati, Erula, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kaberina amcha tatenu tatenu noa kufrei shayin sintet nun na gibor dorshei yutka kibba Chamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Archem tacharem. Rachamei sin. Chamrem. Bet tet resh sadi tav gimel. Hasin kadosh. Verotika na'a adata Tet kuf bet, tet nunayin Yachid ge'e lamcha ve'e Zokwe kidushata Yudgim, Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmat Yatatenu Yotav Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Tav. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. A few announcements. As you know, we've entered the three-week period that's referred to as between the straits. It's a narrowness, a place where the energy is too great for the vessel. There are a number of sages who have passed during this period. One of those sages is Joseph HaSadiq, who passed on the 27th day of Tammuz. That night, which is the 28th, the night of the 28th of July, I'll be doing a session at 10 p.m. I believe that's a Thursday night. The Saturday night, just after that, the 29th day of Tammuz, the Rashi, the foremost commentator on the Bible and on the Talmud, on everything but the Zohar, everything but the Kabbalah, Rashi passed. So we utilize his energy as well. And then on the 5th of Av is the passing of the Ari. And I will be reading and teaching from his material as well. So I'll keep you advised on what those dates are, but kind of put it in the back of your mind if you're interested. These Sadiqim make themselves available. They chose to leave this world in this period so they could assist us in handling this period. To not utilize their energy, I'll leave you to how you want to define that. Are there any questions?
So we didn't make it to this page. Will we pick up here next time?
Yes, we'll pick up right where we start.
That'll be next week?
Yes. Have a good evening. Enjoy your vacation, Connie.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.